Morning, everyone. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us to this Pentecost Sunday to worship you. And now we are going to listen to your word. Through Holy Spirit, awaken our spirit to be able to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Your word, revealed by your light of the Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today is Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit who came upon the believers gathered together in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 is the very same Spirit who is with us even now. Today, through Ezekiel 37:1-10, we want to reflect on who this Holy Spirit is and what it means that He is with us. First, this passage teaches us that the Spirit leads us into the deep valley of death. Let's look at verses 1-2. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. Here, please notice where the Spirit of God brings him. The Spirit leads Ezekiel into a valley filled not with the living people, not even with the corpses, but with bones, countless bones. The Spirit of God intentionally brings the prophet into that valley and causes him to look carefully at those bones. Now, what do these bones represent? Does this scene resemble a peaceful cemetery with the rows of graves resting quietly under the sun? No, this is not a picture of peaceful rest. These bones tell a far more horrifying story. In the ancient world, when bodies were left unburied in open fields or valleys, exposed to birds and wild animals until only bones remained, it was considered the ultimate sign of defeat, shame, and judgment. And Ezekiel does not see just a few bones. He sees a vast number of bones, the remains of a massive slaughter, the aftermath of a devastating defeat in war. Their flesh has disappeared. Their humanity seems erased. Their bones silently testify to utter ruin. This is not a peaceful image of death. Actually, in truth, death itself is always this terrible. Funerals, graves, and memorials often soften death for us, covering over its horror and helplessness. But stripped bare, death always declares the same thing. You are hopeless. There is no return. Who stands before death and says, "My life was victorious"? Death feels like a defeat. It feels final. No exit. And whose death do these bones represent? Verse 11 tells us plainly, these bones are the whole house of Israel. The historical background of this vision is the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. Israel had been defeated. The temple had fallen, many had died, and many others had been taken away into exile. Ezekiel himself was among those exiles living in Babylon when God gave him this vision. So these dry bones symbolize the devastation of Israel, a nation crushed by defeat, scattered among foreign nations, stripped of dignity and hope. But these dry bones point to something even deeper than political collapse or military defeat. They reveal the deeper spiritual condition that led Israel into destruction in the first place. In Ezekiel 36:23, previous chapter, God says, "I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them." God explains that Israel's downfall happened because they had profaned his holy name. How? Through idolatry, violence, injustice, covenant breaking, and rebellion. But all the while, they still claimed, "We are God's people." They continued offering sacrifices and performing religious rituals while living as though God were not different from the idols of the nations. And what would the surrounding nations think as they watched Israel live this way? The people who claim to worship the Lord live no differently from anyone else. Their God must not be that great after all. Israel failed to honor God as God. They reduced the creator of heaven and earth to the level of an idol. They spoke his name with their lips, but their lives denied his reality. They ignored his presence. They ignored his rules. They lived as though the living God were not truly there. And what does that mean? It means they were already living in a place where the true presence and reign of God were absent. Dear brothers and sisters, that is what death truly is. There is not merely the stopping of the heart. That is life without the true God. If we look back at chapter 9 through 11 of Ezekiel, we see a terrifying vision. Ezekiel watches the glory of God depart from the temple. The people had ignored the will of God. Their hearts and mind had turned away from him toward idols. And in response, God actually leaves them. And where God departs, only death remains. Why? Why? Because God is the creator of all things. He is the one who breathed life into creation. He is the very source of life itself. And when the source of life departs, what remains can only be death. Israel did not begin dying when Babylon conquered them. Outwardly, they still looked alive. They still offered the sacrifices. They still called themselves the people of God. But true life was no longer there. And honestly, when we look at our world today, does it not feel strangely similar? Has there ever been a generation more comfortable and more convenient than ours? People today can do almost anything they want. Technology, science gives us endless possibilities. Entertainment surrounds us everywhere. But has there ever been a generation more filled with depression, fear, anxiety, loneliness, and mental exhaustion? We have more things that promise happiness than ever before. But how many people have lost the real joy and real peace deep inside? Are you happy? Are you joyful? Our laws and institutions may have advanced, but what fills human hearts? Inner emptiness, self-centeredness, isolation, pride. How many broken families are there? How many broken relationships? How much division? How much hatred? How many wars between nations? Our world looks powerful and alive on the outside, but underneath it all, there is despair, confusion, and a growing sense that humanity cannot save itself. And perhaps some of us are living proof of that reality. We go to work, we smile, we carry on with life. But are we not sometimes like these dry bones, exhausted, empty, spiritually lifeless? You say, there is still hope. You say, things can still be fixed. But remember, where every human life eventually ends. At the end of every earthly life stands death. Irreversible, unavoidable death. Ezekiel is not shown slightly sick bodies. He is not shown recently decreased corpses. He is shown dry bones, completely lifeless remains, long separated from breath and hope. And those dry bones proclaim one terrifying truth. Human beings cannot bring themselves back to life. But behind even physical death lies an even deeper death, life lived without the presence of the living God. To live without the one who is the source of life is to live without through it itself. And that is exactly what the Spirit of God is showing us through this vision of dry bones. The Holy Spirit is not just a force to stir our emotions during worship. The Spirit reveals the stark reality of our deepest darkness and the fundamental brokenness. However, the Spirit is also the breath of God, the very life that brings our spiritually dead inner selves back to life, even from a state of dry bones. Why would God show Ezekiel such a horrifying vision of dry bones in the first place? Was it simply to confirm their despair? Was it to tell them, you are finished now, there is no hope left for you? No. After showing Ezekiel this valley of death, God asked him a shocking question in verse 3. Son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, can these bones live? What an unexpected question. Think about moments in your own life when failure and despair felt irreversible. Times when the pain was so deep, so overwhelming, and had lasted so long that you became convinced. So you say, this is the end. Nothing can change. There's no hope left. And then suddenly, into that darkness, God speaks. Is that really true? Do you truly believe this is the end? Brothers and sisters, There are two realities we cannot deny. The first reality is death. That is real. That is irreversible. That is the greater terror that hangs over every human life. We cannot escape it. Why? Because humanity has turned away from God, because we live separated from the one who is the source of it itself. But there is another reality we also cannot deny. God is real. Even when we ignore him, even when we live as though he does not exist, God has never disappeared. He is still there. And not only is he there, he stands in the middle of our valley of death and asks, can these bones live? Can these bones live? In other words, do you really think despair has the final word? Do you really think that is stronger than me? The living God stands among hopeless people even now, declaring, there is a life stronger than death. There is a power greater than despair. There is a life here that death itself cannot overcome. And in verses 5, 6, God speaks directly to the dead bones. I will make breath into you and will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will live. To those who were nothing but dry bones, God promises new life. To those who had no future, God promises restoration. To those who could not save themselves, God promises resurrection. Perhaps you say, this sounds impossible. Yes, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But God has already shown us this power 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified and died. He carried the sins of human humanity, our rebellion, our idolatry, our life without God. And he died under the weight of sin and death. But on the third day, the Almighty God raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ conquered death itself. Death exercised all its power against him. But even death could not hold him. The resurrection defeated death completely. The resurrection defeated death completely. The resurrection defeated death completely. And through the resurrection of Christ, God now pour out his Spirit, the Spirit of life, upon all who believe in him. That is what Pentecost means. The reason Christ gives his Holy Spirit to his people brings us from death into life, restoring us into fellowship with God and giving us the hope of eternal resurrection. As 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Because Christ died and rose again, we have passed from death into life. We are now alive to God. Now we can truly know him. Now we can truly see him. We can live in his presence as his people now. And where the Spirit of God is present, death loses its ultimate power. Even if our bodies one day die, death will not have the final word. For when Christ returns, all who belong to him will rise again. The same God who asked Ezekiel, can these bones live, is asking us the very same question today. Do you think it is over? Do you believe there is no hope left? And God answers his own question. There is hope here. Come to me. I have forgiven you. In me there is a life. In me there is a resurrection. In me there is a hope overflowing. Dear friends, when God reveals a problem, he does not so in order to heal it. To recognize the true nature of a problem is an incredibly important thing, because only then can we begin to move toward the real solution. But many people never realize this. Since they don't know what their true problem is, they cannot even think about how to fix it. Do you sense that something is wrong in your life, but you cannot quite see what the actual problem is? Do your struggles feel completely hopeless, as if there is no solution in sight? If so, it's likely because you still haven't clearly recognized what your real problem is. Can you see this your real problem? I have so many things to enjoy in my life. So why do I feel no joy? Why does everything feel empty? Why is there no peace in my life? Only despair. Right now, can you see the true condition of your soul that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you? Just a pile of dry, twisted, lifeless bones, bleak and barren, because there is no God in you. But hear this carefully. God is there. God is here. God is beside you. Your life full of troubles, God is beside you, with you. Almighty God, loving God, is with us. Because the Holy Spirit is living in us. And he reveals our true condition because he intends to bring us back to life. He is calling you to back to himself, to the fullness of life that is found in him alone. Not just the living, but the fullness of life that is found in him alone. Because he knows how terrible life becomes without him, how miserable it is to live separated from the source of life. That's why he is showing us this terrifying valley of dry bones. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the reality of our dry bones, the truth of our ultimate spiritual death. But the Holy Spirit is also the breath of God, the very life of God himself, who brings our spiritually dead souls back to life, even from the condition of dry bones. God shows us our death through the Holy Spirit, so that through the same Spirit, he may raise us to life again. Finally, the Holy Spirit also not just bring us back to life, but also transforms us into a vast army. Let us look at verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. The Holy Spirit does not merely show us our dry bones, and the Spirit does not merely bring dead bones back to life. He goes even further. The Spirit takes those who were once dead and transforms them into a mighty army. What does that mean? What's the image of army? When I first entered military service and had my head shaved to become a soldier, strangest thing to me was how excessive everything seemed. For example, when I had just joined the army and knew nothing, a senior soldier called my name. I answered him the way I would have as a civilian. Immediately, he was hit. Why? Because my voice was too quiet. You know my voice? Very quiet, isn't it? That was the moment I learned that in the military, you do not simply speak. You need to shout, cry. And when we walk, we had to swing our arms high, like this. Yep. And marched forcefully. When we ran together, we had to keep perfect rhythm with one another while loudly shouting military chants, even while struggling to catch our breath. At the time, I thought it was completely insane. Later, I realized there was a reason behind all of this. It was about military morale. No matter how large an army may be, no matter how physically strong its soldier may be, if that army loses its courage and confidence, it becomes nothing more than a terrified crowd in the face of war and death. And so commanders constantly train their soldiers to develop boldness, unity, confidence, endurance, and a fighting spirit. Brothers and sisters, in a far greater way, this is what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Spirit does not merely make us alive. The Spirit transforms us into people filled with spiritual courage, conviction, strength, and life. And this is exactly what happened at Pentecostal. The disciples had already seen the risen Jesus. They had touched his resurrected body. They had heard his promises with their own eyes. But after Jesus ascended into heaven, they were still afraid. They hid behind the locked doors, terrified of the Jewish leaders and the Roman authorities, and just to pray, waiting the Holy Spirit. They were not yet filled with the life-changing power that could shake the world. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them like fire, everything changed. Fear became boldness. Weakness became power. The disciples who once hid in fear ran out into the streets proclaiming Jesus Christ openly. And those frightened men became people who no longer feared even persecution, prison, or death itself. Like a mighty army, they advanced with courage because they were filled with the Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, this is what the Holy Spirit still does today. Today in us. This is what it means that the Holy Spirit is with us even now. We gather here for worship, but has our worship become nothing more than the repetition of dry religious routines? Is there a real spiritual life in our worship? We may have church activities, we may have organization and structure, but do we truly have the living presence of God among us? Do we have worship without genuine surrender? Biblical knowledge without spiritual transformation? Religious activity that exists mainly for our own comfort and self-preservation. Brothers and sisters, we are not raised to life merely so that we could survive spiritually. That's not our goal. That's not our reason, our purpose of life. Our life as a Christian, our life's goals and purpose is not survival. We are called to live as soldiers of Jesus Christ, people who rise up for the gospel, for the truth of God, and for the kingdom of Christ. God did not restore Israel merely so they could return from Babylon and live a comfortable life. God restored them so that they would once again declare His glory among the nations and stand as His people in the midst of a spiritual battle. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is not merely someone we depend on to solve our personal problems or fulfill our private desires. The Holy Spirit is the one who depends on so that we may live for the mission of God and the truth of Christ. For He is the one who gives us strength. He is the one who fills us with power. He is the one who transforms weak and fearful people into the soldier of Christ, filled with the living power of God Himself. Dear brothers and sisters, what we must know is that this Holy Spirit is with us now. Do you believe that? This Spirit brings us back to life, awakens us spiritually, shines the light of God's Word upon us, and supplies the power to live for His truth. He who is doing this is with us really. He who is doing these things is with us really. Then what does a life look like when we truly and deeply understand that this Spirit is with us? Is it not a life surrendered to the will of this Holy Spirit? As an army cannot fight if every soldier follows his own will, a true army moves according to the command of its leader. Many of us, we need to surrender to the will of the Holy Spirit. Many of us are still holding on to our own way, our own plans, our own compromises, our own control. But the Holy Spirit does not fill hearts that refuse to yield. When we lay down our will, when we surrender even the smallest part of our lives to Him, the voice of the Spirit becomes clearer, our sin more clearly, and the greatness of the living God more clearly. So, brothers and sisters, lay down our will. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and let the breath of God bring you fully to life. Because we are children of God, in whom there is the living Spirit of God. Let us pray. Just have a moment to pray in silence whether we have something from this message from God today. Are we, the living Holy Spirit is living in us? What is the will of the Holy Spirit for us? Let's pray. in silence. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for awakening us to listen to your word, your message for us through Holy Spirit. Through Holy Spirit, we definitely have spoken to us, Father, today about the specific part of our lives. Father, thank you for all of this. Thank you for your word to reveal to us that we are children of God. We are living in this, in your spirit. And now we are not the people who are living according to our flesh, our desire, but according to your will, the will of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for all of this. Empower us in this life with your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.